What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 410. In this episode, I'll discuss potential reasons for a false heparin anti-10A level. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode410. The price for the Hospital Pharmacy Academy will be increasing significantly this Friday, June 28th at 10 p.m. Eastern. Current members and those that join before the deadline this Friday will lock in the lowest possible Academy pricing for as long as their membership remains active. While the price for the Academy has not changed in 2 years, the practical value the Academy brings to hospital pharmacists has increased substantially. The amount of trainings has more than quadrupled. Members now receive full text access to 2 major medical journals, and there are many time-saving resources to keep up to date with the literature and make precepting easier. To not lose the chance to lock in the lowest possible pricing for the Hospital Pharmacy Academy, join before this Friday at pharmacyjoe.com/academy. Monitoring heparin infusions using anti-10A levels instead of PTT is becoming a widespread strategy in hospital laboratories. The main benefits of monitoring heparin by anti-10A are said to be better correlation to actual heparin level, better defined target that won't change with each reagent batch, and that is an anti-10A level of 0.3 to 0.7, and less interference from hemolysis, warfarin, and liver disease. The previously held disadvantages of anti-10A are disappearing since the test is no longer cost prohibitive and can be available on a 24/7 basis. Despite less interference compared with PTT, there are still clinical scenarios where the anti-10A level may not accurately reflect the level of heparin the patient is exposed to. The first is when a concurrent anti-10A inhibitor is on board, and that can cause a false elevation. Current anti-10A level assays are chromogenic. In the presence of factor 10A inhibition, the color change of the assay can be used to determine the exact heparin level. Color change will occur regardless of whether the factor 10A inhibition comes from heparin, apixaban, edoxaban, or rivaroxaban. Parallel to the increase in the use of oral factor 10A inhibitors is the use of anti-factor 10A assays to monitor heparin infusions in hospitalized patients. This results in a common scenario of an anti-10A level being extremely elevated, not due to over-anticoagulation, but because the patient still has levels of apixaban, edoxaban, or rivaroxaban that are interfering with the test. This interference may last several days. There is one case report of this effect lasting 96 hours in a patient with poor renal function who is taking apixaban 5 milligrams twice daily. The next potential for a false level is drawing the anti-10A level from an IV line that's contaminated with heparin. If the blood sample is from the same IV line the heparin is infusing into, the anti-10A level may be falsely elevated. To avoid this scenario, the heparin infusion needs to be paused and the line flushed, or the anti-10A should be drawn from a different site. Anecdotally, this scenario appears more often when inexperienced staff are drawing the levels, or the patient has a single central line that's being used for blood draws and the heparin infusion. The next potential for false levels is in the setting of hyperbilirubinemia and hypertriglyceridemia. Both elevated bilirubin and triglycerides can interfere with the chromogenic anti-10 assay to produce a falsely elevated result. Whether this occurs may depend on the specific brand of anti-10A assay used. For hypertriglyceridemia, the lab can use an ultracentrifuge technique to remove the interference, but this is not possible with hyperbilirubinemia. And last is antithrombin deficiency. Because the presence of antithrombin is necessary for the anticoagulant action of heparin, it's also necessary for the anti-10A heparin assay to be accurate. If there's a deficiency of antithrombin, heparin exposure is likely higher than what the anti-10A level suggests. Antithrombin deficiency may be inherited, but it also may be acquired. ICU patients, especially those with sepsis, may have acquired antithrombin deficiencies of almost the same magnitude as a patient with inherited antithrombin deficiency. It may be possible for the laboratory to supplement the blood sample with antithrombin to obtain a more accurate level. However, this technique has not been correlated to actual patient outcomes. As a reminder, to not miss the chance to lock in the lowest possible pricing for the Hospital Pharmacy Academy, join before it increases this Friday, June 28th, 2018, at pharmacyjoe.com/academy. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.